one thing I do, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. We're beginning a new series today on the book of Philippians. The key verse of Philippians is the striking statement of Paul in chapter 1, verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." We believe the Lord has blessings in store for us as we study this short epistle, led by Dr. Stuart Custer. Dr. Custer teaches Bible and ancient languages, and in addition to his duties at the university, he pastors the Trinity Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. So here with today's study is Dr. Stuart Custer.
Philippians chapter 1, Joy in Handicaps, Suffering for Christ. The Apostle Paul, when he writes Philippians, was imprisoned for the faith, hindered from going on his great missionary journeys. He had every reason to be very discouraged and sad. But instead, Philippians breathes a very spirit of rejoicing in Christ. He did not have outward circumstances to rejoice in. He had the Savior. And that was a grounds of tremendous rejoicing for the Apostle Paul. First thing that I see in chapter 1 of Philippians is Paul's joy in chains. He begins by saying, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Now here he is writing and including in the address Timotheus, that is Timothy, one of his helpers. It isn't that Timothy is actually doing the writing with him, he is just happens to be one of those present with him. And Paul, out of courtesy, includes him in the title here. He identifies himself as the servant, literally the slave of Jesus Christ. It was his great joy to put himself wholly at the disposal of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he addresses, then, the saints which are in Christ Jesus and happen to be at Philippi. The saints are in Christ because everyone who is born again is in Christ. And these were the group that were living at Philippi. And he adds to that, with the bishops and deacons, and these are the regular church officers that we now call pastors and deacons. Then he prays grace and peace upon the believers. Always grace has to be first. If you do not have grace in your heart, you cannot have any peace. But grace and peace come from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There again is evidence of Paul's faith in the deity of Christ. He was very sure that the Lord Jesus Christ could be put on the very same plane with God our Father. And so the grace and peace come alike from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." So here Paul is giving thanks for the Philippians. They were a fine testimony, and he was continually praying for them all. And that shows us a very grave responsibility that believers have everywhere of praying for one another. The Apostle Paul, with all the busy work that he had throughout the empire, he still took time to be praying for the Philippians systematically, making requests for them with joy. His converts were the joy of his heart, and he was thinking of the fellowship with them from the beginning of his ministry in the Galatian and Grecian regions until the present time when he is locked up, imprisoned, unable to go on his missionary journeys at all. Now he goes on to say he is confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul had no confidence in the flesh whatsoever. He did not trust himself at all, but he had great confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. that the Lord who had begun that good work in the Philippians would bring it to perfect consummation in the day of Jesus Christ. Now that phrase, the day of Jesus Christ, is the blessing aspect of the second coming, when the Lord Jesus comes back with his rewards, to reward his fellow workers for their faithfulness in service for him. And Paul goes on to say in verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. So Paul had this confidence in them because he was continually praying for them. Now, those believers were in his heart, and he was committed to them, and rejoiced that they were partakers of the grace that he himself had received. Then in verse 8 he goes on to say, God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Now this tells us that Paul deeply longed for the Philippians. He had great affection for them. And that word bowels refers to the seat of the affections. Nowadays we would say, some phrase like, I have you in my heart, something like this. The heart has become the kind of stereotyped reference to the seat of the affections. Neither, as far as organs are concerned, the heart or the bowels have anything to do with our emotions. But that's just simply a conventional way of referring to it. And so he's speaking as though he were longing after the believers in the affections of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, he says. And what follows in verse 9 is one of the great New Testament prayers. And Paul has several of these that are just simply great blessings. He prays here, first, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Now, this means that we must not be satisfied with our present attainments. Our love, our Christian graces, should abound more and more. We've got to get better in our testimony. We've got to increase in our love and our compassion. And he specially stresses in knowledge and in all judgment. Now, it's plain that we need discernment. We need to know the things of God and to choose wisely. Verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent. Now, it's not enough just to choose things that are good. We must choose things that are better. Yes, even the best. He wants believers to have fine, sharpened discernment, that we may choose things that are excellent, things that are a real blessing for ourselves, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, that word sincere is a very interesting word. The word literally means without wax, and that sounds kind of strange, until you realize that it referred to an old custom. In the ancient world, there were potters who made pottery by hand. And sometimes, in the process of making the pot, it was marred, and there was a crack that showed up in the pot. Now, if there was a normal potter, a man of real ethics, why, he'd take the pot and just throw it out on the junk pile, and you'd have a pile of potsherds lying out there. But if the fellow had a little larceny in his soul, he would take some wax and fill the crack in with wax, and then polish the whole thing down. You couldn't see where the crack was. And so, consequently, the purchaser would take that pot and hold it up to the sunlight and turn it around to see if there was a crack. And through the sunlight, they would be able to see that line where the crack was, if there was a crack in the pot. So this means that we must be without wax, no hypocrisy, no covering up of flaws and sins, but letting the Lord Jesus to deal with those, that they might be removed, that we might not have offenses that would harm the testimony of Christ. Sincere and without offense, until the day of Christ. When the Lord comes back, he will bring his rewards and blessing for his faithful followers. Then he continues praying, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Well, that's certainly a prayer that we can echo. We need to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can produce those fruits in our lives, and if he does, it will be to the glory and praise of God. Then, having said this, Paul turns to the afflictions that he has been going through, without any degree of sadness, but with joy in his heart. Verse 12, he says, I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Now, here is Paul's great faith. in the midst of the persecution, in the midst of being imprisoned for the faith, which normally would make a Christian worker very discouraged, here is Paul confident that the things that have happened would extend the power of the gospel rather than hinder them. He was a firm believer that the Lord Jesus could work all things out for good. So that, verse 13 says, in my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Here he had been imprisoned as house arrest with the Praetorian Guard. And these elite soldiers who were part of the emperor's guard were delegated the responsibility of guarding Paul. And so every day one of them showed up to be chained to the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine a soldier being chained to the Apostle Paul? What a tremendous opportunity that was. Indeed, we can be very confident that every one of those shock troops, those elite guard that were there, every one of them had a testimony from Paul concerning salvation in Christ. Now, question, how would Paul have ever been able to reach those soldiers for Christ without these circumstances? Well, yes, he just could not have. Undoubtedly on the street, the sidewalk, they would not have stopped to listen to this preacher, but here they were, chained to him. They couldn't get away. So far as Paul was concerned, it was the hand of the Lord. And so he rejoiced at this opportunity of getting the gospel out to these soldiers who certainly needed the gospel as much as anyone. And so he adds in verse 14, many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, that means that there were other Christian workers who were noting that Paul, in prison, was still a good witness. Here he was, in chains, and yet testifying to the soldiers who guarded him. Well, if the Apostle Paul could have the faith and the courage to speak for the Lord in the midst of these oppressive circumstances, how about these other brethren who were free and able to walk about and witness freely for the Lord? Why, they gained boldness by seeing Paul's faithfulness in those difficult circumstances. And so Paul was rejoicing here that the gospel was getting out and that the imprisonment and the suffering that he was going through was not hindering the gospel at all. It was a means of furthering the gospel. And I've often wondered how many of those members of the Praetorian Guard, those soldiers, will see in heaven because of Paul's faithful testimony to those men, one after the other, as they were chained to him. That's a very interesting scene. Now, my friends, many times you are going to come across circumstances that you cannot change. They seem to be great trials, great burdens, and you'll have no idea what to do with it. Well, when those things happen, like Paul, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not bound by circumstances. He can also work out the details so that the gospel is furthered, blessing comes about even through those difficult circumstances. Our lives must shine for the Lord Jesus, even when we are, in our turn, imprisoned by whatever circumstances we are faced. We, too, must commend Christ and have a faithful testimony in spite of all such circumstances.
We want to thank Dr. Stuart Custard for today's helpful study from Philippians. You won't want to miss a single broadcast in this new series. So make a note of this time, Monday through Friday, when Bob Jones University presents the Bible Institute of the Air.